Okay, we're back in the friendly confines of the TSC garage, Doug.
Yeah, we're back. We're back in our little pond of Denver, Colorado.
It does seem like a small town now, doesn't it?
It did. It did. I feel
like we sound like such bumpkins. You're from Boston. I'm a Chicago guy, you know?
I know, but LA changes you, though.
It does. Like we said, I think the title of two episodes again, where LA, where have you been all my life? What a great trip, right?
It was.
LA impressions, Doug.
LA impressions. Well, it definitely feels bigger than the last time I went there.
Yeah. Well, you live there. I always forget that. You lived there for a while.
I lived there for a little while.
Where'd you live again?
We were in Las Feliz, which is close to Silver Lake.
That's right. You and the Black Dahlia killer.
That's right. We were at the foothills of the Hollywood Hills, if you will.
Right.
So, I used to jog up to the Griffith Observatory, and I could see the Hollywood sign from our place.
I saw neither on this trip.
Yeah, we'll have to get that. We'll do that next time. We didn't spend a lot of time in actual Los Angeles.
Good God, it was a whirlwind, huh?
It was. I feel like we crammed a lot into about 3.5 days.
Yeah, so, yeah. What did we learn? Malibu, show up a little later. People sleep in.
Well, what I would say about Malibu is that, like, if you want to see a Cars and Coffee, it doesn't matter. You wake up at any time and just go to different Cars and Coffee. But the big show that happens at Bill's Malibu Kitchen doesn't really kick off until 10 a.m.
The non-show.
So we would schedule our tickets for the Peterson a little bit differently if we were doing it again. So we apparently just missed out on meeting Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, and Spike Ferriston, and a couple other sort of like, big local celebrities as well. Yeah.
It was a great time.
Yeah.
We did so much, at the end of each day, it was really nice to sort of come back down that hill in Redondo Beach where we were staying. Sarah, shout out. Hey.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarah. Thank you
guys.
Sarah and Pat for hosting us and for letting us borrow our trusted steed. I feel like that needs more credit my sister's 2016, Volkswagen Golf Sport Wagon manual transmission. That got us all over LA left and right. I mean, we must have put like 1,000 miles on that thing.
How's your left calf?
Well, you know what? This is actually a thought I hadn't even prepared you for this conversation, but this is definitely a thought I've had. I don't know what it's like to own multiple manual transmission cars, but I went immediately. That was the last car I drove as a manual transmission. Yeah. I jumped into my car and I immediately thought there was something wrong with my clutch. Because it's much stiffer than that one.
Interesting.
So it's like it's almost like clutch identification or like clutch sort of like feel. You get used to driving one for a while and like you go to another and it's like a completely different feel.
Each one's different. I some of these YouTubers and stuff who get a new car every day.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of goddamn pressure.
It is.
Don't wreck the thing. Wring the most out of it, because if you don't, you're going to get comments about how you can't drive, and each car really is different.
And I would think like if you're
new, old.
If you're one of these fortunate people that has like multiple different cars that you might drive on a regular basis and they happen to be manual transmission, that's one of the few things in a mechanical digital world that we live in where it's like that's still very individual.
Each
car you drive.
Right. It's not just Mac or PC.
Exactly. It's
tough enough.
Well, exactly. Well, to that point, though, there's many different things about a Macintosh laptop versus a PC based.
Absolutely.
But the
PC based sucks.
But the feel of the return button on the keypad. Yep. Is relatively similar, whereas like clutches are all over the place.
It's the truth. And speaking of YouTubers, I don't know that we talked about this. We've recorded since we saw Zach Clapman and Matt Farah.
Yeah.
They were so kind to show us around West Side Collector Car Storage. We got to see the Smoking Tire studio.
We got to see the headquarters of the entire Smoking Tire operation. We got to meet both Matt and Zach.
Yeah, they were great. Thank you.
They were more than great. They were down to earth. They were fun. They were chatting with us. It was a great time.
They may have been more exhausted than we were. So just picture, if you will, two guys that have been running ragged for 3.5 days, and literally our last stop in LA was with these guys. And obviously we love what they do. They do great stuff. And hopefully we will see more of them.
Yeah.
Maybe here in Colorado or elsewhere. They were absolutely great. But I think they were operating on less sleep than us. They have this new Patreon. We'll put the link in the description here. But they have a new Patreon program. And I'm a total fanboy. I signed up, and on their inaugural Patreon episode. They talked about how right before we got there, they had a surprise fire department inspection. And hell, I just look at their schedules. I just
Yeah.
That they took the time out of their day to do that was really fantastic.
Considering they had just put up with that, on top of the sort of like what they predicted to be their stress for that day, the fact that they had, in addition to that, like an unexpected fire.
Yeah, these two goobers. And
they still made time for two yokels from Colorado. Yeah. And they couldn't have been nicer.
They really got to see the K-Van. Am I saying that right? K-Van, yeah.
Uh-huh. K-Van, yeah. His Delica, his Mitsubishi Delica. Yes, that was cool. His wife's. I'd seen it in pictures, but it is super pristine.
It is
that
awesome.
Thing is like, yeah, that is really, it's, he's, I think he said it's, I think it's 34,000 kilometers on
which
it
is
when they what, bought
like
it.
22,000 miles.
Yeah, it's like 15,000 miles or something. It's something absurd. Yeah. But, it's low mileage. It's super clean. Yeah. Yeah. And it looks really great.
Zach showed us his bug out bike in case of a tsunami.
Yeah, we did see that. Yeah.
or zombie invasion.
He was proud of that. He pointed out, he goes, that's my bug out. He said, that's my bug out bike over there. And we saw it. Yeah.
Well, so. I think that the impression I got, or I took away is they're regular car guys who, you know, like the rest of us, and the passion is there. And whenever I listen to them, I mean, they know so much more than we do. It's crazy, but they were decent enough to show us around. I do have to talk about their last couple of podcasts. There was the Patreon episode, and then the regular episode with Kristen Lee. And two things I thought were really funny, just shout out to you and then we'll shut up about you guys. But Matt coined the term festival pissing, and how when you're at like a music festival, don't go for the, you know, the easy option, the tall boy beer. What you want is you want to go for the cocktail so you don't have to try to find the portal at every, you know, 30 minutes. I like this term, festival pissing. I'm going to move forward with it. I'm going to use it. And then Matt was on the Patreon podcast. Matt was talking about, he had a friend, and you should just listen to the damn podcast. This is their material. But he was talking about, he had a friend in Buffalo, New York, and he had been out there for the wedding, and they've since been divorced. And Zach's comment was, who won the bowling alley in the settlement? Which I thought was some kind of brilliant. But anyway, I guess he shares my odd sense of
humor.
That's
pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
But it was a great trip. Where else we said? We went to Gooder. Gooder headquarters, you know, our sponsor. This is their
worldwide headquarters is in Los Angeles. So we had a chance to go over to the headquarters, which is called the Lagoon.
Yep.
And like I said, I think I said to you, you know, sort of off the mics, is that it's a busy place. Those guys are running around. I couldn't believe all the, you know, sort of the shipments they have coming in. I saw an entire, which I thought was their shipping center where they were shipping sunglasses out because they had so many sunglasses like ready to go. That was their return section. That was just the people who were sending them back.
Well, and they make and a fine was, product, Doug. This is one very small.
But to the point though, it's like they do, if they have a year guarantee on all their sunglasses, you can return it just like L.L. Bean. Like you can return it for no questions asked. But that was just their return section. The shipping area was so much bigger.
What goes wrong on Gooder sunglasses? Probably not. I mean, but
I've never had a problem with them. But
people are funny, and I'll leave it at that. But we also went to the Cabana, which is in Venice. On what's the name of the street? It's Abbot Kinney. Is that?
Yeah.
I gotta look out. Look,
it's apparently it's like one. It's like the biggest new shopping district in the entire country. And we did. We got to see their whole Cabana store.
It was pretty G.
Kobe.
Shout out to Kobe.
Kobe was running it. And he knows what he's doing. And it was fun. You picked up a few sunglasses there, which is fun. So,
I did. I got a kick out of because of the pair I picked up for my wife. I saw on a pop-up ad on Facebook this morning. Yeah. So someone's listening.
Excellent. Excellent. So
I got some new green ones. I don't have them here, but they kind of look like beach glass, like Coke bottle, you know, old green, you know, glass. Very cool.
Excellent.
Cool space. It's in an old what would you call it? Kind of a, just, it's an old house. It's
like
a cottage
an old,
or
it
something.
It looks like it would have been like originally like a very small California style bungalow house.
Yeah, bungalow is the word.
Yeah, that's been sort of repurposed. So anyways, but just to put a, you know, put a point on that, check out gooder.com. Look at some of the great sunglasses they have.
15% off with steering 15.
That's right. Steering
plus
steering 15. Put that at checkout at gooder.com. You'll get 15% off.
Is it still, at least last time I checked, $50 spend and it's free shipping? So
any order that finishes over $50 is absolutely free shipping anywhere. So
I was going to say buy two, but then if you use our disc, it's buy three. But you know what? Buy three. You won't regret it.
You won't regret it at all. And with our discount, you'll still get it close to 50 and you'll get free shipping. So
I want to work for this company. They must hire art directors, right?
They are so fun. You
it's a great company. I loved it. And they couldn't have been kinder to us, just like Matt and Zach. So, should we take a... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, again, so steering 15, gooder.com, use that as your 15% discount. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We should take a quick break. I've got some more LA impressions. I know you do, too. Yeah, I took the GT4 out for a quick drive today, which was fun. Yeah. We got a few more things to talk about, so we'll be right back.
We're back. Ryan, we've had some time to think about our LA trip. I feel like we've had a time to kind of like hose ourselves down, get a little bit, some perspective on it, if you will.
Yeah.
And I just feel like one thing that sort of stood out for me in that trip as I was looking through my photos was that supercar exhibit at the Peterson.
Yeah.
Was incredible.
That was a nice surprise, Doug, because I didn't know that was still going on. You know, this is the one that, so it's sort of the history of the supercar, mostly newer stuff, I'd say, from the 60s, 70s to present.
Yeah.
Newer stuff, listen to me.
Well, I mean, to call yourself a supercar exhibit, though, the arguably the Lamborghini Miura, which is what they agreed was like, that was the car that kicked it off. And it's been, you know, so you're talking about like 1965
what a hot car that is, man.
The Miura.
I want to get like Jamiroquai and buy one of those someday. That thing. Well,
Jamiroquai can tell you what to do because he's bought like several of those cars. That's one of his favorites.
I get it now.
Yeah.
We checked off so many cars on our list. And listen, we joke, you know, living in Denver, we don't see that many things or whatever maybe. But between the two of us, we've seen, driven, or ridden in just about anything and everything, right? But there were some I had never seen, like the Bugatti EB110. Never anywhere had I seen one.
Wasn't sure I was ever going to see one of those. Yeah.
That was up there for me.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was one where you and I were trying to find each other just to make sure we both saw that.
Right. But there were others that...
So for me, there's two big ones that I feel like everyone in our world has seen, but I had never seen before, which is the Lancia Stratos.
I had not either. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I know there are a couple around. You know, I think there's one in back of my car group in Chicago, Fuel Fed. I think there might be one in that mix, but I have never seen one in the flesh. Mm-hmm. That thing was as cool in person as it looked in pictures,
right?
I mean,
I've never wanted to like just jump into a car and try and drive it off as much as I wanted to, because that one would be fun. Well,
apparently, it's a miserable drive.
But
it's like geared to like top out at like 88 or something, right? It's just,
I think that's just on the, that's on the rally, the rally ones. One. Okay. Yeah, the streetcar ones are actually, I've understand, are better to drive like in real life. So, but then for me too, I can't believe until I realized that I'd never seen an F40 in real life.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I've only seen a couple, but it was neat to be able to sit there and stare and not be a weirdo, right? Like, I think my biggest complaint about that, Doug, is I wanted, like, at the Louvre or something, or Art Institute of Chicago or the Met, I wanted a bench to sit and I wanted to stare at the Mona Lisa.
You're not
more
wrong.
Benches, yeah. Peterson. You need more benches.
Yeah, I need more benches. I love the way they had the main display set up where they were all sort of like on that one wall, just like, you know, going down sort of almost, I think, pretty much in chronological order.
With the magazine covers?
With the big blown up magazine covers as like sort of like a, including the one that the magazine cover I always refer to as my sort of like taproot moment, which is the 1987 Road and Track World's Fastest Cars issue, which I have in my garage.
Is that the one with the roof, Yellowbird?
Yes.
Because that's another one, man. I certainly had never seen that.
So there was no big deal, but there just happened to be a rough Yellowbird there. You know, fastest car from that test.
Yeah.
211 miles an hour plus, I think, or 217. It was insane.
I saw roof as a young person, probably the same year. It's funny, I remember this. I saw my first Countach. I saw a black Countach on the road. Mm-hmm. And both of those cars, I remember where I was. I remember who I was with. I'm pretty sure I was in, you know, my parents' Chrysler minivan for both of those. You know, and just, you know, the flared fenders on the roof, the taillights, you know, on the Countach. And there was a Countach, and I want to correct myself.
Yeah.
You are correct. It was not, despite the color and some of the tacked on shit, it was not a 25th anniversary, but it was... It was a
late production Countach.
Yeah,
it was definitely not. Yeah, not
the, it didn't have the right wheels and other stuff. Yeah. But that's so okay, you were but, correct. All right,
we're all... so we'll let well yeah. But but how about this though? So when I remember from that magazine cover, which had the Yellowbird on it, it had a Countach on it, had all this exotic hardware. Yeah,
five cars, I think. Right.
Yeah. And the test had more than that. I mean, the test had tons of cars on it. I remember being annoyed though, because I think this is something you grow into when you're a little bit older. I assumed the Lamborghini Countach was the greatest car of all time and that nothing was better than that. And I was so annoyed to find out that it wasn't the fastest car in the world at the time.
By the time that we got into cars, the car was already old.
I know, that's the thing. I know. So we're talking about, but I mean, like, so I was annoyed that somehow this little Porsche had beaten it as a top speed. But now I look back and I'm like, that's so awesome.
Well, we're such Porsche fanboys now. Yeah. But I remember as a young person, Porsche really wasn't on my radar. I think I told the story one time on the podcast here. We had a neighbor, kind of a swinging bachelor, who had a black, I think it was a 930 turbo. It had, I think, silver BBS wheels or gold BBS wheels, and backed it out. And that was the first time I really paid attention to Porsches. We had a couple 944s in the neighborhood. But as far as a poster car, right, it was always a Ferrari or Lamborghini. Or, sorry, I want to say, maybe this car I got the biggest thrill out of, Doug, if it wasn't that Bugatti, was the Vector W8. Shut the door, man.
Yeah.
I know some podcasters have driven this thing, or Doug DeMuro at least has driven this on YouTube.
But nothing is a better poster car than a Vector in some ways. I mean, that is just born to be a poster car.
It is. It probably also only the only quote-unquote supercar with a 3-speed automatic.
I know. It definitely maybe, it doesn't quite live up to the driving experience, but... From a poster experience,
good Lord, that car is there. Spicy.
It's exotic. It has presence in a way. In a room full of very exotic hardware, this one still stood out.
You know what else held its own was the NSX. You know, this was a $30,000-$40,000 car not too long ago, folks. I mean, and we all kind of poo-pooed them. It goes to show, like, you know, it's just buy what you want.
For the record, I would never poo-poo them.
No, but it became sort of a used car for a while.
Have you ever driven one?
I've never, and you have.
Yes, it's absolutely one of the. I mean, it's a perfect driving experience. I mean, it is a Honda Motor Company at their best, at the height of their powers, making the best driving car at the time.
This is when an Accord Coupe with a stick was a pretty great car, you know, in a way that I would say they aren't now. Well, this is of a year or two ago. I don't think they make it a stick and Accord anymore. But if anyone's listening local here that has an NSX and is willing to let me drive it around, it's one that I need to drive off my or check off my drive list.
Yeah, it's one that it stands up. It's great to see it, and you see a lot of them in person. That's not a big deal. And you're right. You know, in that entire exotic, you know, sort of lineup, it still did hold its own.
It really
did. But from a driving perspective, it's just like it's choice. It's perfect.
Yeah,
in some ways. It's a perfect balance between horsepower and handling and just ergonomics and everything. So
I talk so much about how I had a manual. A Honda Fit, and what a great car that was. Like, it was a sewing machine, you know. And in my eyes, it's sort of the combination of the Fit and my GT4 or something. It would kind of be the perfect car for me in a lot of ways. But now, you know, a good one is GT4 money, and I just don't. That's too much for my blood. But
it wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, so what I would say though is that in many ways, like, the GT4 is arguably now like the closest example of the new car you can buy that was that experience.
I think in a way. You know, and at the time it was the whole gentleman's agreement, 276 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's probably more than that on paper, but it's not a rocket.
It's definitely more than 270.
But it's not, you know, compared to the new stuff or whatever,
but it'll still,
good God, that's a good looking car.
It's just a great looking car. So
every angle.
Shout out to Ian Kelleher. I got to drive. I got a significant amount of seat time in one of those at some point.
This is when you were quite a bit younger too, if I recall right, the first time you drove this, right?
And I wouldn't say quite a bit, but I was in my mid to late 30s. But
wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, I got a significant drive back from Albany, New York, back to Eastern Massachusetts in one.
And it was a stick.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because there are some automatics out there.
Well, and it was a 1991.
So an early
which
one.
Is an early one, but on the earlier ones, that's the ones where they would be, it would be a red car, but they all had the black roof,
top.
But this was a black car, which
that was the move.
That was the way to go.
I feel like most of them were red. I remember seeing my first one. I was, 89. I guess I must have been in middle school. We were at a strip mall in Indianapolis, Indiana. My mom was at a hair salon, and I didn't want to sit there and smell that hair salon smell, you know, and I went outside and just sitting there just with the rest of the cars was a red NSX, and I sat and stared. It was just, one of these kids is not like the rest. But let's talk more about the Peterson, because another one that, I don't know if I've seen one or not, but it's something you certainly don't see every day, and I know they weren't, you know, from all indications, maybe not the best car, but the Saleen S7, that was one that was there. What am I missing here, Doug? We should post these pictures. We took some pretty good pictures.
We did.
Artfully cropped.
Yeah, you took some great
pictures.
With
that art school education.
I'm glad it's being used for something. So next to the Saleen, I think there was a Maserati.
MC12.
Yes. Yeah.
Arguably the better F40. Right?
Yeah. And that particular one was the one that was sort of like, tested and developed by Michael Schumacher directly. And
it's a dark gray, Grigio, whatever.
Yeah.
And let's not forget one of three in the world black 959s.
Yes. So there was
tan interior.
Also 959. Yep. So that was on the list there. There was also, I don't think you've ever seen one in real life. I'd never, the XJ, Jaguar XJ.
Oh yeah, the XJ
220.
Yeah, there were four or five cars there. And you know, I guess this is why we're Denver podcasters, Doug. But yeah, there were four or five cars there I had never seen in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was quite an exhibit.
But I don't think that's a reflection of like the fact that we're like,
these are just ultra rare.
I think this is just like a very great collection.
I've seen 959s before, but they've all been silver. And I've only seen a couple living in Chicago. I saw Michael Jordan cruise past one on the Edens.
Did he have a 959?
He did. Oh, or at least that was the rumor at the time. I assume it was him. Yeah. You know, but a black one in particular was quite choice,
as they say. They had two face-to-face. It was a Di Tommaso.
Pantera
versus the Mangusta. They were just,
the Mangusta was the better looking car.
It's
the older one.
Car.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
But the Pantera had a story, right?
Yeah,
belonged to
The King of Rock and Roll, also known as Elvis Presley, and
I think this was the Fat Elvis stage, and I think we mentioned this a couple episodes back, and that was in the title, but I think it was the Fat Elvis stage because Fat Elvis was also Angry Elvis, and he shot this car.
So yeah, I think he was a little bit ornery at this time in his life, but it was also apparently like a reflection of the fact that the car was sometimes unreliable. So it's like, he went out to go start it. He was tired of it. It would never work. And he took out his 357 revolver and just like shot at it.
That's what you get, Fat Elvis. Did you ever figure out where it was shot?
No, apparently it was shot. But I guess it was shot through the windshield into the steering.
Okay.
There's apparently still a graze mark on the steering wheel column. So
if it was a 357 Magnum bullet, probably just went straight through.
It might have gone all the way through all the way.
You had a delicious hamburger the day we're at the Peterson too. And I sent you the link. You're wondering what the name of this place, it's called Hi-Ho Burger, which we could talk about that. But
if you find yourself at the Peterson, unfortunately the restaurant that they used to have on site is closed.
Yeah.
So you have
a little
walk
thin, the restaurant scene there.
Yeah, it is. But if you walk down about a block or so from there, and I guess we'll try and find the exact street there, but there's two or three restaurants there that would
Fairfax,
be great. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a genuinely delicious.
It was a great burger.
So shout out to Hi-Ho. They were actually super cool too. So anyway,
all 100%.
Do we sound like tourists yet?
Wagyu beef
from New Zealand.
So
FedEx that shit or what?
I don't know. But they were good. But however they got there, it was delicious. So.
What else do we want to say about LA before we close this chapter? Until next time.
A couple other things that I thought about after the fact or about the Peterson specifically. I don't think it gets enough credit, but. So they had, we didn't even talk about this last time. Part of the crown jewel collection for them is they have one of the two first production Ferraris.
They do.
In their vault.
We didn't mention that.
How do we even miss it? It's because we're so overwhelmed, but there are two versions of this car that they built at the beginning of Enzo Ferrari's career.
Yep.
One is in Maranello. One's at the Peterson.
It's like a 49 or 46.
It's like a 49 or 50. It's like super early.
It's like it's a little kit car-ish.
But he was just getting. But that's Genesis. Well,
no,
though.
I get it. It's a seminal Ferrari.
Yeah, and I love how at that moment in the vault they had it next to some modern Ferraris, and you're kind of like, it's different, but I can see that there's an essence the ethos of the car is still there. It was a Ferrari. It's one of the first Ferrari. It's the first Ferrari.
I know.
It's amazing.
I can't believe
there's one of them.
It was just sitting there. It was just
sitting there. Yeah, just sitting in the vault.
So I'm laughing whenever one of us has to, we're drinking beer, so whenever one of us has a little burp or something, we turn away, and I think of that Chocolate Rain video.
Oh.
Chocolate Rain. And then the best video is when he overdubs his voice about why he did that. And this is where I... Sorry. Just a little flashback there. But the first Ferrari.
We saw the first Ferrari.
The first Ferrari. Yeah, it's just there in the corner.
Just sitting in the corner of their vault.
And again, I just... If you haven't been, and I know there are listeners in LA and other places, it's the Peterson, whatever. But it's a great museum. Don't take that thing for granted. I lived in Chicago for 20 years or whatever, and I don't think I visited the Art Institute of Chicago, in the last 5-6 years I lived there. When you're new and it's new and, Edward Hopper and, this and that, and, it's a big deal. And then you sort of start taking it for granted. And I feel like probably a lot of people in LA do, or they just see such great cars around, but it is a world-class museum.
Even if you're used to seeing the regular stuff you see on just a regular, parked on the street in Los Angeles, the Peterson is absolutely still worth it.
Well, so. And I think what really did it for me was the supercar exhibit. That was, these are the cars that, were roughly the same age, the cars that we grew up with. Again, the cars that were on these covers, of all the magazines. I was a car and driver guy primarily, but, maybe road and track a close second at the time, Motor Trend a distant third, but that's changed.
These are iconic. For me, it was road and track first, but the point is they had these iconic magazine covers to sort of show how important these cars were.
Yeah.
And it was a mix of, it was road and track or it was car and driver.
And the whole thing was just awesome. And then again, shout out to our new friend, Andy, down on the vault. Hope your week went well in the new position. And thank you again for showing us around the Lufka Cult cars. And that was pretty exceptional. So do we want to close this chapter on LA until next time? I think it's going to be soon later. I mean, we already have stuff lined up, I feel like.
I guess that's the question to you. Do you think, we did a lot in one weekend.
We did.
Do you think we should... Do you think you would do? Would you do it again and do it differently?
There's so much more. I want to go to the experience of the Porsche Experience Center and all that. And we have more people to see too. Of course, All right. In closing, LA, thank you.
We love you,
everyone.
Our postcard to you is we had a great time. We wish we could do it all over again.
Yeah, so, everyone was fantastic. Really, everything clicked into place. It was a fantastic, fantastic trip. We will do it again. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
Yeah. Ryan.
Yes, sir.
Sarah told you have to drive your GT4 more.
Our new friend, Sarah DeCarmen, yes.
Yeah, she said you're not driving it enough.
No. Oh, and
did you do that today?
I did. Yeah. But before I talk about that, Sarah, I looked up your speedball car. That thing is so cool, the Speedster.
Yeah.
That is very cool. That was in Excellence Magazine. Anyway, but yeah, she kind of laughed when I said I've had this car for a year now. I was one of the fortunate, folks to get one of these GT4s, and then now they seem to be... very difficult to acquire. And, and I said, I only put about 2,500 miles on this car. And she sort of chastised me in a friendly way. And so Sarah, I did take the damn thing out today and, it was excellent, but here in Denver, or here in Colorado, at least, it's leaf peeping season, Doug.
Yeah, it's not great for
a lot of peepers out there. Yeah, yeah. And they're inevitably all in CRVs doing 20 miles an hour. And so, There's this sort of critical mass thing that happens, right? When you're up in the canyons or in the mountains here, and if there's one car in front of you and you come up behind them in a Porsche or something, they'll almost always get out of your way, the next turn off or whatever. But two, three, anything more than that, no one gets out of your way. So I gave it a good shot. When we talked with Zach Klabman, Zach, you mentioned your great road out here was Squaw Pass. And so that's my go-to. That's where I headed today. I went up through Morrison, was behind a dump truck the whole way up the canyons at Bear Creek Canyon or Lair of the Bear and all that.
Yeah.
Two or three cars back behind a dump truck. You think that dump truck would pull over in that 30 minutes or whatever it took?
No,
of course not.
No.
But I did make it up to Squaw Pass. That is the road that matches this car, the GT4. The gearing, you can actually wind out second gear there, which we all know is nearing triple digits. You did see some Porsche friends coming the other way. Well, not friends, but we're all friends, right?
Yeah.
Porsche people, got a few
Porsche
few
tribe members.
Yeah. Of course, these groups of Porsches are always going the other way, unfortunately, but I'm sure they ended up hitting the same peeper roadblock that I did. So
it seems like you think that way because it's like, oh, they must be going the opposite way. You're more likely to pass them going the opposite way than you are to catch up with them.
This is true. I ended up turning around, which allowed me, I don't know, probably.
J-turn. Emergency brake, flip it around. Right?
Not quite there with this one yet. No? But okay. I tried that a couple times in my old 320 when I was in my teens. But those rear, I think that had, I was going to say that had rear drum brakes. I don't actually remember, but it was enough where you could get it around. But I did get 5 or 6 unobstructed miles where I was balls out, if you want to call it that. The everyday driver guys call it the daily triple or whatever. And I certainly did that. And
oh, okay.
I guess
triple numbers were a part of your experience.
Well, in this car, the gearing is, we all talk about the gearing. There's nothing wrong with the damn gearing, but you go into a really tight, canyon road and it's really hard to stay in your power band. And, in Squaw Pass, pardon me, it, it, there's a place you can open up. You still have to drop down to first. There's some really, really tight hairpins, and you get down into first, and it's almost still not low enough. Mm-hmm. But man, when this car is at full song, Doug, and you are, you know, you're reaching 8,000 in second, it's, you know, now the car is opening up. I've got now 2,600 miles on it, Sarah. Thank you very much. Yeah. It is, and you know, it's, and if you ever make it out here, of course, we should go for a drive. But this, you know, for 10 minutes, Doug, it all came together.
Oh, okay.
It was a very good 10 minutes.
Sometimes that's all it takes. I mean, yeah. I don't think we talked about this. You've never played golf, right?
I have played, but I don't play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Because what I would say is that, like, I've had many rounds of golf where it's like, it's terrible. But then you get like one or two good.
Mean at the putt, Doug.
Yeah.
Your short game
is strong.
It is strong.
Or with me, I'm also like, I do a lot of long distance running to stay in shape. And I feel like I have like 1,000 runs that are bad and then one that's good. And
when it all comes together.
But that will fuel me again for another like 1,000 runs. Or the same thing with golf. It's like one good hit will make up for like 200 terrible, like shanking it off into the rough.
It was a great 10 minutes. The aspens are starting to turn here, you know, beautiful gold. And it was really nice.
Yeah, we're hitting peak season right now.
I sent you the link. Doug DeMuro, shout out to Doug, did the manual GT3, the 992 review, and he really liked it, of course. But I sent you the link. I don't know if you, or I sent you, I'm the big geek that, you know, that videoed from my TV here. Mm-hmm. He basically said the GT3 manual is great. Now, neither one of us have driven this yet, but I know the hit against this is it's got a very light flywheel, a lot of people say that the PDK is a better match with the 992 GT3. I don't know if that's true or not, having not driven one. But Doug drove the manual, and he said it was fantastic. But the GT4, the 718 GT4, is pretty much the same experience. And I'm not getting these words. This is not exactly verbatim. But the GT4, and especially, you know, what are GT4s trading at now? You know, about 140. I think if you can find one. But the new GT3 manual will be trading, I guess this is touring, I think it was a touring actually, are trading at probably 100,000 over that. And he basically said unless money really is no object, and you know, you can get one, just buy the GT4. Like, it's really most of the same experience. And I think that's probably true, because again, I'm out driving hard today, Doug, and I'm barely getting out of second gear. I can only imagine what the GT3 is like. But it really, you know, horses for courses. You know, the GT4 Squaw Pass, man, that is road.
I want to dig into this a little bit. So I feel like when you owned your base Cayman, you were kind of like all about Golden Gate Canyon. And now since you have the GT4, I feel like you really mostly talk about Squaw Pass. Is that fair to say that the base Cayman was a better match for that road?
I think so. The base Cayman still had high tall gearing, but it wasn't. Yeah. I don't remember it being quite as high as this.
Did you drove the base Cayman on Squaw Pass though? Right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And although they're, you know, we talked about that car. And shout out to my dad who sent me some pictures. He's put 300 or 400 miles on his new base Cayman. Although his is a little nicer spec than mine. He's got the 20-inch wheels. He's got the Sport Chrono. He's got some toys that mine didn't. But you know, that 300 horsepower, at least on paper, model. And you know, that car had nothing. And then you get to maybe 2,000, and you get a little power, and then sort of 4,000. But the torque curve was a little lower than the GT4, and the gearing was a little lower. And so stuff like that was, that car was made for that tighter stuff. Maybe not quite like a Miata or something, but that was made for the tighter stuff. Mm-hmm. This car struggles a little bit because I feel like on that tight canyon stuff, like if you're familiar with the roads here in Colorado, Golden Gate, that's the go-to just outside of Golden. Yeah, it's hard to really open it up. You want to be between gears. Squaw Pass, I love that road. We've talked about it. It's the closest thing to say like a Touge road in Japan. I'll never pronounce that right. Where it's this combination of big sweepers, tight stuff. It's just an altitude. You're climbing up this mountain up to 10,000-11,000 feet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think too, with, you know, even though this isn't an NA motor, a little extra power helps too. Mm. It was just the best. Is that empty? Pick it up. It's okay.
It is empty.
Doug is trying to, Swiss Tracks talked about their amazing drainage of their tiles. I did that the last time. It's all good.
I think we're okay. I think I completely finished it. But
No. Yeah,
it's, I accidentally dropped a beer can on the floor.
As long as you don't want to waste beer, though. I just wanted to make sure of that.
No.
As we know, Swiss Trax helps me pry it up, clean, put back down. Anyway,
Well,
Swiss Trax 15% off using the code
steer
15.
Anyway. Steer 15. Yeah.
but
steer,
no, it's
steer
15.
15.
Steer 15.
We'll get you 15% off your Swiss Trax purchase, and you can have your garage as nice as Ryan's, which will also mask the sound when you drop a beer can, even on a highly sophisticated recording equipment.
So, and it looks damn good too. But it does. Anyway, if you're in the Colorado area and you have a GT4 and you haven't driven Squat Pass, you're really missing out because it is sort of the perfect road.
Okay, so when you have GT spec Porsche, Squat Pass is where it's at.
I'm telling you.
And when you have sort of base Cayman money, your base Boxster money.
I'm going to say Golden Gate Canyon.
Yeah.
Problem is both of these, you know, right now, again, the leaf peepers, you know, cyclists. Hey, I ride a
not
bike.
Right now, not you right know. Now, but yeah.
But just be careful and you will enjoy yourself. But promise, I need to get out and take a picture once in a while. It was pretty nice up there with the leaves and everything. Mm-hmm. And but I get a limited amount of time for these drives. And when I'm in the car, I want to drive. I don't really want to take pictures of the autumn leaves, Doug. So.
You're too busy. You're too busy out there just like killing it, just setting a new personal record.
It was
record,
fun. So. It was fun. Well, you know, and again, there is something to it. I experienced this in you know, my 997 when I had it. You know, I bought it that used, but about 9,000 miles. You know, my base came in when I had it. Bought new. There's a point, you know, after a couple, 3,000 miles where the engine really starts to open up. It sounds different. You know, you get hot, the exhaust, you know, this GT4 has cracks and burbles, but you got to work for them a little more than, you know, say in the base that's got the button or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, man, when it's good, it's good. This is not the car you want to drive around town in. And
No, this is the exact opposite of that kind of car. This is definitely like I feel like this is like it's a driver's car. It's an enthusiast car.
And I'm so that, so fortunate to own it. Again, shout out to our friends at Porsche of Colorado Springs. Truly world class experience. Really enjoyed the video that Zach did. And again, don't mean to keep talking about these guys, but Zach had this 575.
They don't need from Porsche. They don't need help promoting their
podcast.
They're
I know.
Biggest in the business.
No, I know, but they do good work. And he drove a 575, a Ferrari. You know, more of a GT car. But he borrowed it from our friends at Porsche of Colorado Springs. Hint, hint. But Eddie, you know, I didn't get this thing for free, but I you know, obviously had the chance to buy it. And this, I truly think, Doug, that this will be a forever car. We had an episode way back early on, you know?
All right. So you said, so it's interesting when we talk about the concept of a forever car.
Yeah.
Because, what I would say at the very least for you is I feel like this is the car we were like, would I ever buy something else? It has to be better than this.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you're at a very high level with this, but you did tell me at some point though, that the 997 GT3,
I think point two especially,
manual transmission GT3 was still in the running though. And it's like, you know, so this car, you said, and the big difference now is that this car has warranty on it. So yeah,
that's it.
But all right. So once this is out of warranty though, and they're on equal footing,
the 997 is the most beautiful 911 in many ways, especially water cooled, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the right size. That 997, especially the 0.2 in my eyes, just looks right. And the GT3, the shape of the wing, everything else, you know, the power and the performance is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think that car is also about 415 horsepower. You know, the 0-60 quarter mile are all pretty close. You know, the GT4 might even be a little quicker, just newer, whatever, modern tires, all that. But that car is really everything for me. It's beautiful in a way that as much as I like this thing, Doug, the 718 GT4, it's not as beautiful of a car in my eyes. And on paper, they're trading for about the same price right now, but trade off is you can get a relatively new 718 GT4, or you're going to, obviously, they're all, you know, the newest one you're going to get is what, a 2012, 0.2 997, a GT3. And so chances are it's going to have 40,000 miles on it for about the same price. And I absolutely love them, but, I think the driving experience is actually pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the warranty, although both I think are very reliable cars from all accounts, that's just enough for me to, Well, and hell, you know, I think it's probably easier to finance a newer car than a 2012 too. But, you know, I think that.
Oh, well, so what I was trying to say is assuming when this is out of warranty, so you don't have that.
My car. I've owned it from the get-go. Yeah. We did stop by and see, you know, at Porsche South Bay out in California is where the car was first.
I know it's American destination. I mean, so it's I guess its birthplace would have been, you know,
well, sure,
Germany.
But it was
American. It's first American location. It was delivered was South there. Bay, so we took
it's got that on its driver's license. Yeah. And then immediately, good folks at Porsche Colorado Springs were kind enough to acquire it for
they
me.
They grabbed it and they brought it here.
I think for a turbo or something. And ironically, we didn't see, based on a single GT4 in California the whole time we were rolled, which is crazy, but.
That's so weird. We saw so many 718 Boxsters.
Oh my God.
And Caymans. They're all in Los Angeles.
Dozens.
But more like, you know, like you said, base models, S's, things like that.
But
no GT4s.
No GT4s.
Two Spiders or one Spider? I can't remember. We did see one
718. We saw a Spider.
718 Spider.
Yep.
Which is the closest we got.
Yeah.
But no GT4s, which I was surprised about. No. I thought we'd see a lot of them out there.
Well, anyway, close this one up. This is a very, you know, I've driven, thank you to our friends at Porsche Colorado Springs. I have driven the 9972 GT4, and they have another one in a black one. I don't think it's the same car. It's got about 40,000 miles. I think they want 120, 130, 140 or something. Mm-hmm. I may have to go drive that car again if they let me. Having driven this one for a while, in my memory, they are very, very similar driving cars.
Well, so, I think you almost have to drive this one down to go test drive that one and just see how they are, because that is probably the closest GT3 to this.
We should see if they'll let us do that. That's something about that rump, you know, that rear end of that car looks so good.
You like a girl with a big backyard.
Or at least a Porsche with one. But anyway, what else is going on? Should we wrap this up? You got anything else? LA, we'll see you again.
I don't think that was our last trip to LA.
No,
I think we'll
for
definitely
sure.
have to go back there again. And no, I mean, not much else. We haven't talked much about it, but we're going to tease this a little bit. We have a new James Bond movie coming out soon. Yep. I'm going to see it on opening night. And
we saw the exhibit.
We'll talk a little bit about the exhibit.
Yeah,
we should get closer to that. Yeah. Stay tuned to that. We'll do some.
That's.
I'll do some James Bond car nerd stuff here for you.
You know, maybe I have some homework to do in the meantime. But when you don't even mention the James Bond exhibit and all the amazing things
when that's the thing you forget,
you know they're doing a good job.
They're doing that's unbelievable it was.
So, well, let's wrap this up. We're gonna have one more beer. We'll shoot the shit. But until next time.